time. So often we forget that and don't even think about that, but he is. We are in Hebrews this morning, and so far we're in trouble. Okay. So now I know I can at least tell you what I've studied. That was kind of a heartthrob, wasn't it? One of those uh-oh type deals. Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. We're going through the Great Faith Hall of Fame here as we continue on. We're going to be in verse 7 today. We're going to look at Noah, verse 7. Hebrews chapter 11 in verse 7. By faith Noah, being warned by God about things not yet seen, in reverence prepared an ark for the salvation of his household, by which he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father God, thank you so much for this truth, Lord, that Noah lives his life in faith. And Father, he was seen as righteous. Father, he didn't come to faith because he was righteous. You didn't notice him because he was righteous, Lord God. You didn't. Father God, it's not by works of righteousness which we've done. It's according to your mercy. And Lord, what you saw in him was faith. It was the faith that you gave him, yes. Lord God, it was the faith he utilized to work for you. Father, I pray that his life would speak to us today, because his life was what you used, Father. Help us to recognize this trait of listening and adhering to what you say. We love you in Christ's name. Amen. As we get into this, I want to remind you where we come in Hebrews. Hebrews, the writer of Hebrews, was writing to a church or to a group of people who knew about God, knew about Christ. In fact, were worshiping together. And yet some of them had not fully trusted in Christ, had not come to the decision of totally trusting in Christ, because what they wanted to do was to go back under a religious system. They were being persecuted. They were having problems. So instead of enduring and looking to the Lord, they said, you know what, it'd be better if we just got back under that religious system where we're accepted as Jews, where we're accepted under the law. And yet they didn't recognize what the law really told. So what he's doing, he's trying to show them that Christ is superior. He's superior to that religious system. And he shows them he's superior to the prophets, to the angels, to Moses, to Aaron, to Abraham. He goes on and says the real problem in chapter 6, he says the real problem is unbelief. You haven't believed in the Lord as Jesus, as Lord and Christ. And so he goes on to explain that. And what we see is that he shows Jesus as the high priest, as the true high priest after the order of Melchizedek. We looked at that. And then he has a comparison between the Old Covenant and the New. And that's the one thing that I just love about Hebrews. You get into chapter 8, 9, and 10, you see that comparison between the Old Covenant and the New, how the Old Covenant had its standards, how the New has Christ. And Christ has fulfilled every standard of the Old Covenant. He has made a way for us to have something better. That Christ is better, that his promises is better. The new covenant promises are all better than the old covenant. And then he gives a warning of apostasy, because this is what these people were wanting to do, some of them. He says, don't go back under. Don't leave this, because this is the truth. If you leave this, there is no truth. There's no more truth that can save you. It has to be this truth that can save you. So he gives them that warning, tells them to endure. But what we've looked at in chapter 11 is the definition of faith. That definition being the assurance of what is hoped for, the conviction or what you would bring forth as evidence in a trial. It's that solid, that conviction or evidence of things not seen. We looked at it in by way of creation, looked at that. We looked at it in the way of Abel in his life, where he worshiped God. We looked at Enoch last week, where he walked with God. And then what we saw, the conclusion of that, is the only way to please God. It's the only way to please God, to have faith. And that faith is to believe not only that he is, but that he's a rewarder. And those two elements are essential, because if we believe that God is, there's many people who believe that yeah, there's a God. But when we take to heart the fact that he's a rewarder, he is the one that is in charge of that, then we can lean upon him. And that reward is salvation. That's what the reward, we talked about that last week. What we're going to look at this week is the fact that Abel worshiped God in faith, the fact that Enoch walked with God in faith, and now we're going to look at Noah, who worked for God in faith. Look at verse 7. By faith, Noah, being warned by God about things not yet seen in reverence, prepared an ark for the salvation of his household, by which he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. It says, by faith, starts out again, by faith. And remember, that's a noun. That's not a verb. That's a noun. By this entity of faith, what God has given. Remember, we looked at under the new covenant in Ephesians. It says we're saved by grace through faith. And that, not of ourselves, it's a gift of God. So it's a gift, this gift of faith. And yet this gift of faith has to be accepted, has to be taken in and utilized so that it changes our life. And in the cases we've looked at so far, in Abel's case and in Enoch's case, it changed their life. And now we're looking at Noah. And we're going to see a huge way it changed his life. So much so that that faith, when that faith motivates us to live out who we are in Christ. Because you see, faith is what changes our identity. Recognize that? Faith is what changes our identity from being selfish to being selfless, because we rely on God instead of relying on ourselves or our own way. I want to look at the life of Noah. You can turn back if you like. I'm going to read part of verse of chapter 6 of Genesis, not Galatians. Genesis. This morning we were having a Galatians-Genesis problem. But here, in Genesis chapter 6, I want to just read you a little bit. I'm not going to read the whole thing because it's like four chapters. But in chapter 6, starting in verse 6, it says, now Noah was 600 years old when the flood of water came upon the earth. When Noah and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives with him entered the ark because of the water of the flood. Of clean animals and animals that are not clean, and birds and everything that creeps on the ground, there went into the ark to Noah by twos, male and female, as God had commanded Noah. It came about after the 7 days that the water of the flood came upon the earth. In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, in the 17th day of the month, on the same day, all the foundations of the deep, the great deep, burst open, and the floodgates of the sky were opened. The rain fell upon the earth for 40 days and 40 nights. Now we think about, I remember that story. That's just, you know, that's a very widely known story. We all know about Noah and the ark. I've had folks who have little replicas of the ark and Noah and all the animals, you know. So it's a widely known story. But there are things in here that we need to recognize that Noah did everything he did here by faith. And it was by faith in what God had said. And it's amazing as we get into this. Verse 13 says, on the very same day, Noah and Shem and Ham and Japheth, the sons of Noah, and Noah's wives and wife and his three and the three wives of his sons with him entered the ark. They and every beast after its kind, and all the cattle after their kind, and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth after its kind, and every bird after its kind, all sorts of birds. So they went into the ark to Noah by twos of all the flesh that had breath of life. Those that entered, male and female of all flesh, entered as God had commanded him, and the Lord closed it behind him. Then the flood came upon the earth for 40 days, and the water increased and lifted up the ark so that it rose above the earth. The water prevailed and increased greatly upon the earth, and the ark floated to the surface on the surface of the water. The water prevailed more and more upon the earth, and all the high mountains everywhere and the heavens were covered. The water prevailed 15 cubits higher than the mountains were covered. All flesh that moved on the earth perished, birds and cattle and beasts and every swarming thing and swarms upon the earth and all mankind. For all that was on the dry land, all in whose nostrils the breath of the spirit of life died. Thus he blotted out every living thing that was on the face of the earth, from man to animals to creeping things to the birds of the sky. These were all blotted out from the earth, and only Noah was left, together with those with him in the ark. The water prevailed upon the earth 150 days. So there's the basic story, and he goes on. I lost one of the pages. Here we go. He goes on in the next chapter and says, but God remembered Noah, and he caused the water to subside eventually here, but... I read you the wrong chapter. That's why it was so bad. Sorry. I kept reading thinking, that is not what I was wanting to read, but it's here. It's right here. Okay, let's start over. Sorry. I guess you did get part of the next part of his life. This is chapter 6. That was chapter 7, by the way. This is chapter 6. The Lord was sorry that he made man on the earth. He grieved him in his heart. The Lord said, I'll blot him out. Everything else, but Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. That's verse 8. I want you to remember that. Verse 9 says, these are the records of the generation of Noah. Noah was a righteous man, blameless in his time. Noah walked with God. Okay? What we looked at with Abel is he worshiped God. What we looked at with Enoch is he walked with God. And here it says in Genesis that Noah walked with God, but I want you to see the progression here. Because we know he worshiped God. Because you cannot have faith without worshiping God. That's worship is produced by faith. And then we see in Scripture that he walked with God. But what I want you to see also is that he worked for God. Noah became the father of three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Now the earth was corrupt in the sight of God, and the earth was filled with violence. God looked at the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all the flesh had corrupted their way on the earth. Then God said to Noah, the end of all flesh, here's what God said to Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence because of them, and behold, I am about to destroy them with the earth. Make for yourself an ark of gopher wood. You shall make the ark with rooms and shall cover it inside and out with pitch. This is how I want you to make it, the length of the ark, 300 cubits, its breadth 50 cubits, and its height 30 cubits. You shall make a window of the ark and finish it a cubit from the top and set the door on the ark on the side. You shall make it with a lower second and third levels or decks. Behold, I am bringing a flood of water onto the earth to destroy all flesh which has the breath of life from under the heavens. Everything in it and the earth shall perish. But I will establish my covenant with you, and you shall enter the ark, you and your sons and your wife, and your sons' wives with you. And every living thing of all flesh you shall bring, two of every kind into the ark, and shall keep them alive with you, and they shall be male and female. Of the birds after their kind, the animals after their kind, every creeping thing of the ground after its kind, two of every kind shall come with you to keep them alive. As for you, take for yourself some of all food which is edible, and gather it for yourself, and it shall be for food for you and for them. Thus Noah did. Then discuss it. Thus Noah did according to all that God had commanded. So he did. So I want you to think about this for a minute, because in Hebrews 11, back to Hebrews 11, verse 7, you get to the end of that and it says, and became an heir of righteousness which is according to faith. So Abraham didn't look on the earth and say, well, you know what? Noah's a really good guy. I think I'm going to use him. He's really righteous. He saw that he was righteous because of his faith, according to Hebrews chapter 11. It was according to that faith, because of that faith, that righteousness showed. And how does righteousness show? In what Noah was doing and his attitudes and his actions. It showed up. We looked at that in James a while back. But here, Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord, and God used him. But I want you to see this, because he's warned by God. He's warned by God of something he hasn't seen and can't even begin to imagine. And I want you to look at that, because it talks about the fact that he's going to destroy all flesh. God told him that. He's going to destroy all the flesh on the earth. I mean, think about that. God telling him everything's going to be destroyed. Every person's going to be destroyed. And he says to build an ark. And the word ark literally means a wooden box. And it was used in the Old Testament of the Ark of the Covenant. How big was the Ark of the Covenant? Oh, this big. I mean, I could build one of those. I could handle building an Ark of the Covenant, right? And yet, and I think that's probably may have been what Noah was thinking. Build an ark. Build a box. Okay, why do I need a box? But think about what these things are he's saying. It's going to be a flood. Noah had never seen water. I mean, water. He'd seen water. He had never seen rain. And so if it's not raining a lot, it's never flooded. There's never been a flood on the earth. I'm not sure Noah even knew exactly what he was talking about. Every living thing, bring all food onto this ark. I think Noah was questioning quite a bit, but we never see that Noah questioned God in it. He didn't have a discussion. He didn't say, you know what, I've got a better idea. Let's just not do this. Let's just kill him some other way, but this sounds like too much work. I mean, Noah was 500 years old when God came to him and told him this. But at the end of the story, we see that Noah did it. Noah did as he was commanded because God said so. Noah trusted what God's word said. And because of that, because he had faith and walked with God, he trusted what God's word said and he did what God told him. He did what God's word said. And this had to be odd for Noah, because he had to give up whatever he was doing at 500 years old, which means he was probably pretty good at it, whatever he was doing. But he had to give that up. I don't think he made arks for a living. I doubt if that was the case, because there was absolutely no need for one. He had to start this enormous project. He lived between the Tigris and the Euphrates River, somewhere in the middle, not right by the river. Somewhere in the middle. So we don't even know that there was a big body of water near him. We know it was a long ways from the ocean. And yet what he was commanded with the bill was immense. It was a long way from anywhere. So how do they explain this? How does he explain this? How did he explain it to his neighbors? How does he explain it to those around him? How does he get the material? And by the way, in chapter 5 of Genesis, we see that those boys were born to him when he was 500 years old. So he started out by himself doing this project. He didn't even have the boys to help him for a while. And he was 500 when God told him to do it. He was 600 when the flood came. It took him 100 years. He was probably seen as crazy by the people around him. Well, we know, we can deduce that because nobody else went with him. He didn't question God. If we were in that same situation, wouldn't we question God? What is an ark? Why do we need it? Where's this water? Where's this flood? How are we going to have a flood? Because he had never seen anything like that. And you know, Noah had less revelation than we do. Noah couldn't look at God's scripture. He couldn't look back and see what Paul did, because Paul hadn't come yet. He couldn't even look back and see what Abraham did. He hadn't been there yet. He had less revelation than we do, and yet he trusted God in this. His faith was simple. God said it, I need to do it. So it comes down, what is our response many times? If we know what God says, because we have God's word, if we know what God says, what's our response? Do we do it, or do we try and figure out how to get around it? You know, we tend to want miracles from God, but we have a hard time seeing that miracles come from impossible situations. and that this, what he's talking about, is an impossible situation. And yet Noah said, okay. I want you to keep that in mind, because he's warned. He's warned of things that are not seen. He's warned of things that he hasn't ever seen, that nobody has ever seen. And he makes that his conviction, his evidence of things not seen. He knows it's going to happen. He knew it was true because God said it was true. We know that he worshiped God. We know that he walked with God. And now we're seeing that he worked for God. He didn't complain, no complaining, no procrastinations to it. There were no excuses for him. What God assigned him, he did. And he did so with a certain attitude. Look what it says in verse 7. It says, by faith Noah, being warned by God about things not yet seen, there's faith, in reverence prepared an ark. In reverence. Now the word reverence, you might have in your translation fear, in fear. But it's not the word phobos. It's not the word for being afraid. It's actually the word, it's a different word, and it means, what does it mean? Pious care or concern, pious concern, or being in awe. That's what it means. So in awe, in pious care, he prepared this ark. It wasn't fright, but it was reverent honor. And to think about it for a minute. Because what God asked him to do, he gave him the dimensions of it. It's roughly 500 foot long. 500 foot long. I mean, a box, a wooden box, I could handle. 500 foot long, 75 foot wide, 40 foot tall, roughly. If you go out to Kentucky, that was Ken Ham. He has a replica of the ark there, and I haven't been there. I would like to see that. I haven't been there since it was done. But it's huge. And God is telling this one man to do it. And in reverence, in the fact that he revered God, he stood in awe of God and said, you know what? You say it should be done. You tell me I can do it. I'm doing it. I will do it. You see his attitude? That was an attitude based in faith. His faith worked not only through walking with God, but working for God, doing exactly what God said, because God said it, even though it made no sense to him. There'd never been rain. There'd never been a flood. And this ark was massive, huge, three levels, 40 foot tall. It's going to take 100 years to build. But Noah believed God. And the salvation of his family, it says that, in reverence prepared an ark for the salvation of his family, his household, and all those animals. It says, by which he condemned the world. Now that which there goes back to faith. It doesn't go to the ark. He didn't condemn the world by the ark. He condemned the world by his faith. Because his faith said whatever God says is true. He trusted God, not the world system. There's a couple verses in 1 Peter, 2 Peter. Where is it? 2 Peter, chapter 2. It says this, for if God did not spare angels when they sinned, but cast them into hell and committed them to pits of darkness reserved for judgment, and did not spare the ancient world, but preserved Noah, a preacher of righteousness, with seven others, and brought him through the flood of the world of the ungodly, then he goes on with that. But I wanted you to see that. Noah, he didn't preserve the world, but he preserved Noah, a preacher of righteousness. So in other words, Noah was telling others about what God said for 100 years. Think about this. Noah was here building this massive ark out of gopher wood by himself for quite a while, and then with his sons, a huge project in the middle of nowhere, not near any water, and telling people, you know what? You need to live righteously. God is going to destroy this world with a flood, with rain. I know you've never seen those things. And I'm building an ark. I know this sounds crazy, but this is what God said, and this is what we're doing. He preached for 100 years. You know how many converts he had? Zero. His family. That's it. That's got to be discouraging, isn't it? Have a ministry and have nobody listen for 100 years out of all of it. And yet he was called the preacher of righteousness because he was preaching the truth. He was preaching, but yet God saw those people there as exceedingly wicked. But that faith that was coming from is what condemned the world. That faith is what condemned the world. It says here in verse 7, by which he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. So he became an heir or an inheritor of righteousness according to faith. You see, faith is the key in Noah's life. Noah didn't do so well that he got faith. Noah had faith so that he obeyed God. He did what God said. And you know what? Why would the people believe him? They'd never seen rain. They'd never seen a flood. I'm sure they thought he was crazy building an ark. So why would they believe him? But the truth always condemns a world that's opposed to God. Truth will always condemn a world that's opposed to God. This world was exceedingly wicked. But it says, by faith he became that heir of righteousness. Righteousness comes only by faith. Remember what that verse before said. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. So, we can look at the rest of Noah's life. We're not going to. Actually, I read part of the rest of Noah's deal here. But he ends up just in the next chapter. Said the Lord said, enter the ark. And after 7 days, it started raining. He entered the ark. It took him quite a while to enter. But it took 7 days before it started raining even. So here's Noah on the ark, and the people are saying, hey, what's the matter with you? Remember, he was preacher of righteousness. He was telling them the whole time, and yet they would not listen. He said, believe what God says. He entered the ark, waited 7 days, flood came. Family was saved. He started over. Because of faith in God's word, because of the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction that God says it is true. The evidence of that. God has a plan. He showed Noah what he wanted him to do in life. You know what? God has a plan for you. God has a plan for me. And he's not stingy on that plan. He reveals it to us. Where does he reveal it to us? God's word. Why do you think we call this God's word? It's what God says. So when we look at what God says in God's word, And we read what God's heart is, and we ignore it. That's why he says, I think it's in James, it's like a mirror. The word's like a mirror. We look at it, and we can see that where we're not following him, and yet we ignore it, then we're not adhering to what God's word says. Then our faith isn't followed through with action, with work. Work is not a dirty word, by the way. Work is a good word. It helps us to recognize who it is that we follow. And when we know what God's word says, when we know what God's plan is for us because of his word, we can follow that. Follow him by faith. Even if you don't understand. If you don't understand where you are in life or what's going on, read his word. The Bible says, thy word is a lamp to my feet, a light to my path. Shows me the way. God didn't give us his word for his sake. You realize that? He gave us his word for our sake. And sometimes following his word is hard. It is a job. It is hard because it doesn't fit into the flow of this world's system. Noah, he hadn't heard of what God had said. He hadn't seen rain. He hadn't seen any of this. And yet he followed, even though it didn't make sense because it was the conviction of things not seen. But he still worked. He did it as God says. And that is dependence. Trust, faith, believing that God says it, I can do it. I should. I follow what God says. That's dependence on him, living it out. So let obedience to God's word be the evidence of your faith. Just let it be the evidence of your faith. You know, then it's no longer a job. Then it's an act of service. Then it's a desirable. That's why we say so often here, we don't have to work for God. We get to. We don't have to serve God. We get to. We don't have to worship. We get to. We get to because it's not a job. It's a natural flow of service to God that comes because of our faith. If you do not have that faith, I would implore you today to trust Christ. He offered His Son, Jesus Christ, to pay for your sins. He wants you to be part of His kingdom. He wants you to be His child. Believe in the Lord Jesus and receive that gift of salvation. If you have trusted in Christ, then your faith can be seen by seeing what God says and living it out. Look at what God says. Now, how do you look at what God says? Read the Word. Get into the Word. See what God says. See how He says to be honest, to love your enemies, to do good to those who mistreat you. See how He says to love the brethren, I can go on and on. There's truth in here. And it's truth that will work in your life and mold you and when you live it out. So it's simply living out who you are in Christ. If you've trusted in Christ, live it out. Find out what He says and live it out. You'll be like Noah. Noah, God said, hey, build an ark in the middle of nowhere because it's going to rain. I know you've never seen rain before. It's going to flood. I know you've never seen a flood before. But it's going to happen. And Noah said, okay. Okay. Simple as that. Okay. When God leads you, okay. Okay. Let's close in prayer. Father, thank You so much for Your leading. Thank You, Lord, that life is not as complicated as we make it. Father, it is as simple as following You, as simple as trusting You. And yeah, that doesn't make everything happen great on this earth, the way we look at greatness, because we have problems. We have struggles. We share our testimony and get in trouble. We are seen as crazy sometimes. Father God, we look at Noah and think, you know what? We got it made. He preached for 100 years and never had anyone believe him. But Father God, he was right because he listened to You. Help us, Lord God, not to follow after the world system, but to rely on You, to have that faith that Noah did, to utilize that faith. Believing that You are who You say You are and believing that You are the rewarder brings us salvation. We have salvation. When we have salvation, we have that faith. Lord God, help us to live it out that others might see our good works and glorify You, our Father. Father, let us put feet to our faith. We love You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.